In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10, Paul said, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." You have two things here that Paul contrasts: that which is perfect and that which is in part. That which is in part refers to the miracles that Paul has been discussing. Miracles like prophesying, speaking in tongues, the gift of knowledge, and these other miracles. Paul said that those miracles would be done away. Those spiritual gifts would come to an end. And he said that those miracles would end when that which is perfect is come. The word perfect means complete. And Paul is referring to the completed New Testament. The New Testament was in the process of being written at this time when Paul wrote. But the New Testament was going to be completed in writing. And that completed form of the New Testament, in written form, would be the time when these spiritual gifts, these miracles, would cease. And so, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10, that when the New Testament was completed, these miraculous gifts were done away. What we want to do in this lesson is to look at claims that people make today to be able to work miracles. And we want to weigh those claims over against the Bible. And we're going to see that the claims that many people make today to be able to work these same miracles actually go against the Bible. Let's begin by looking at prophecy. The gift of prophecy was a miraculous ability. It meant that the person who had this gift was able to speak by the revelation that the Holy Spirit gave to him. And we often find today that people who claim to have this gift, or who simply claim to be able to speak from God and to prophesy, actually contradict the Bible many times. For instance, many of these people who say that they're prophesying by the Holy Spirit contradict what the Bible says in Mark 16, verse 16. The Bible says in that passage, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And yet many preachers who claim to be speaking by the Holy Ghost deny that passage and argue that it cannot be true. Well, if the Holy Spirit were inspiring those preachers and leading them to speak as he moved them, the Holy Spirit would not contradict what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Mark 16, verse 16. Because the Holy Spirit does not contradict himself. Another example of how that many people who claim to be able to speak by the Holy Spirit are actually not prophesying is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 and 35. Paul said, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." And we also find that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." So the Bible plainly says that a woman is not to take the lead in trying to teach over a man. So this would exclude a woman from being an elder or a deacon in the church or being a public preacher of the Word of God. And yet, you find that some who say that the Holy Spirit leads them actually approve of women preachers and women elders, and some women preachers say that the Holy Spirit is actually guiding them in what they're saying and inspiring them or leading them to preach to both men and women. The Holy Spirit would not do that, because the Holy Spirit said that a woman is not to serve in that role in the church. That's 1 Corinthians 14, verses 34 and 35, and 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. Another point that we need to make about prophesying is that there have been and there are preachers who claim to be able to speak from God. They claim to be able to prophesy of future events, and they make those prophecies, and yet the prophecies don't come true. The Holy Spirit does not do that. Now, we know that because in Deuteronomy chapter 18, listen to what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. And if thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? Verse 22 gives the answer. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, and if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. That's Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. And yet what we find is that there are preachers who are very popular and who are widely listened to, and yet they have made predictions about things, especially political and world events, that never came true. And yet the strange thing is that the people who followed them before the so-called prophecy or prediction was made continued to follow them after they saw that the prediction did not come true. When the Holy Spirit made a prediction in Bible times through true prophets of God, the thing that he prophesied of actually came to pass. Because God knows the future, and the Holy Spirit inspired these men to speak about the future. That was not a guess. That was not a blind hope on the part of the prophet, or especially on the part of the Holy Spirit. And so what people call prophesying today is not prophesying according to the Bible. And the people that oftentimes are referred to as prophets today are not prophets according to the Word of God. These are completely different things. The second thing that I want to notice is the subject of speaking in tongues. In the first place, there are many people today that do not understand what this was. They think that speaking in tongues refers to making sounds that nobody understands. And yet we find this is not true. That was not speaking in tongues in Bible times. The word tongues refers to languages, real languages, languages that people spoke. And so in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says that the apostles were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And in verse 5, the Bible says there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, that's Acts 2, verse 6. Verse 4 says that they spoke in tongues. Verse 6 says that they were speaking in every man's own language. So here we have a Bible explanation, a Bible definition of what speaking in tongues was. Speaking in tongues was speaking in the languages of these people. Why was this a miracle? Because the people who were given the ability, the miraculous ability to speak in these languages, were given that gift instantly. They didn't have to study that language for years like we do today. They were instantly given the ability to speak in languages that they had never studied and never learned before. That was the gift of speaking in tongues. That's Acts 2, verses 4 through 6. There's something else that is strange about the way that people look at the subject of speaking in tongues today. And that is, they claim to be able to speak in tongues. They claim to be following what the Bible says. And yet, they contradict what Paul plainly said about speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 27 and 28. Here Paul said, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him, the tongue speaker, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So Paul said if there's no interpreter to translate and interpret that language or tongue into the language or languages of other people that were there present, then Paul said, let the tongue speaker keep silence. Why? Because if people don't understand what he's saying, he's not going to help them. That's the point of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul, many times in that chapter, talks about edifying and uses the word edification. That means building up. And Paul says you're not going to edify anybody if they don't understand what you're saying. So you tongue speakers, he says, you can speak, but let one interpret. And if there's no interpreter, then you need to be quiet, you need to be silent. Now compare Paul's instructions in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 27 and 28, to what happens today in worship services where people claim to be able to speak in tongues and they make sounds that nobody can understand and which, for the most part, they don't even attempt to try to translate or interpret. That's the very kind of practice that Paul is forbidding in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 27 and 28. This is just another inconsistency of modern-day claims to these kinds of miracles. Let's consider next the miracle of healing in the Bible. In the Scriptures, when someone was healed, the person that was healed was actually sick or had some kind of physical problem or ailment. That was something that was known to the people who witnessed the miracle. We find in the Bible that there was not some kind of hidden, secret problem that this person had, and then Jesus or one of the apostles said that that was healed. For instance, Jesus and the apostles didn't go around saying that a certain man had a brain tumor that nobody could see, and that they automatically healed that man and the brain tumor disappeared. That's not the kind of healing that we find taking place. Now, they may have healed people of tumors, but overall, we find that the miracles of healing that were designed to prove the deity of Christ and to confirm the apostleship and the preaching of these early disciples, these miracles were performed on ailments that people knew about, that they could verify. For instance, in Acts chapter 3, the Bible says that Peter and John healed a man who was crippled. This man had been crippled from the time that he was born, and he was over 40 years old. This miracle was so obvious that even the enemies of Christ could not deny it. For instance, the Jewish Sanhedrin said about this miracle in Acts 4, verse 16, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." And so even the enemies of Christ could not deny that something miraculous had taken place. This is so different from what we find today. Miracles of healing in Bible times were performed on people that others knew. They were performed in the presence of other people. They were done among many witnesses. And in Bible times, Jesus and the apostles actually did miracles. Today, you find that preachers say that they do them. They say that they have seen them. But in Bible times, Jesus didn't say, "I have worked many miracles." Paul didn't say, "Well, I saw somebody else raising the dead." They actually performed those miracles. And then another inconsistency that we find in our time is that preachers often select certain miracles that they claim to be able to perform, and they leave out other miracles that were done in Bible times. For instance, Jesus told the apostles in Matthew 10, verse 8, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead." If these preachers today can miraculously heal people, then there should be some of those preachers who are able to raise the dead. And I mean actually raise the dead in the presence of witnesses and not just say that somebody did it or that they heard that somebody raised the dead. This is a big difference between Bible times and the claims that people make today. Now, let me add at the end here that God does work in the world. His providential hand is real. He does answer prayer in regard to sickness and many other things. But God's work today is behind the scenes. That's what we mean by providence. Providence sometimes is contrasted to miracles in this way, that a miracle was God's hand revealed, but providence is God's hand concealed.